Good morning. My name is Jesse Rabinowitz, and this is a special edition of Coffee Table. I am joined in the studio by Stephen Mueller and Sarah Vance and Andy Keita by phone. Andy, can you hear us? Andy, are you there? All right, we'll see if Andy can figure it out by the time his time is up. So let's just start off real quick and give... Oh, hi, you on the air?
Oh, hey, man.
Fantastic. So I'm going to ask the two studio people to introduce themselves, and you'll introduce yourself later.
Okay.
Fantastic. So, Sarah Vance, why don't you start with you? We have three people instead of four, so you got a lot of time, but we have questions coming up.
Good morning. My name is Sarah Vance, and I'm running for city council. I'm a local who grew up here in Homer. I'm a mother of four, homeschools. We just had exciting Nutcracker auditions and are looking forward to the big reveal of what parts my daughter will get. So that's the big news in my life today, and I'm glad to be on the show.
Great. Stephen?
Hi, I'm Steve Mueller. I'm also running for city council. You might know me as the singing pharmacist at Ulmer's Drug and Hardware. Right now, my beautiful wife is sitting in for me. And if you want to come see my grandson, the Connor Man, just stop by and see him before 10, because after that, I'll be back singing songs and filling prescriptions. Moved here from Central Ohio, blessed with two children, and have lived in Homer for 10 years, and we came here because we fell in love with the community, and right now the reason I'm running is just to help the community become the best possible Homer it can be.
Great. Andy? Andy, you're on. Andrew Keita. All right, we'll wait for Andrew Keita.
Sorry.
Okay, here's your time.
I had mute my phone.
All right, can you introduce yourself and say what you're all about?
Sure. My name is Andy Keita. I moved to Homer in 1997, work in the food and beverage industry, / tourism, I suppose, would be involved there. My son is 5. He just started kindergarten at Fireweed Academy. I just started a new job myself, kind of a transitional mode as far as that goes. Looking forward to the wintertime coming up here in Homer, and the hockey rink's open, and I'm running for city council because I feel as if it's a sense of duty to the citizens of the city.
Great. Fantastic. So you can call in if you're listening, any question you want, at 235-7721 or 800-979-5224. You can also email questions to info@kbbi.org. We have someone checking that regularly, and we'll print it out and we'll get it right to you. Right now, we're going to start with some email questions. So someone emailed yesterday, what are your thoughts on complete streets in Homer? A community that provides safe access for people of all ages and abilities to navigate the day without a vehicle. Andy, you want to take that one first?
Is that me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm kind of in the middle of my work shift. I didn't get to get
What are your thoughts on complete streets in Homer, a community that provides safe access for people of all ages and abilities to navigate the day without a vehicle?
I think that's a fantastic idea. I walk around the town almost every day, and there's lots of situations where I don't walk on certain streets because it's inaccessible and there's no shoulder, and I have a 5-year-old, and it's just kind of dangerous sometimes. So, yeah,
great.
All for it.
Steven?
I don't live in downtown Homer, and I'm sure that this question is concerning the grid of just downtown Homer. I actually live up West Hill in an area that was annexed, I believe, back in like 2002.
Yep.
I think that there's a plan, and the streets have all been drawn out as far as what they're possibly going to be in the future. I don't see the necessity to rush to get this grid work done until such time as Homer really needs it to support it. I think what was just done on Grubstake is wonderful. My friend Dylan Weiser loves it. He can walk to work, boom, like that. But there's other areas. If you put these connections through, especially in the summertime, you're basically asking for folks that need to stay away from Sterling Highway or the bypass to come drive through your community. And I don't know if that's necessarily going to make things safe. So I think that we definitely have a city plan. These streets are penciled in on the plots. And when the time comes, it makes good sense to go ahead and put them in. Until such time, should we make sure they're safe? Should we make sure they have sidewalks where necessary? Absolutely. But I also, one of my technicians at Homer, or at Ulmer's, Eileen, she lives on Grubstake. If they were to connect that through and all of a sudden people just started zooming by, her little boy would be in danger and I wouldn't want to see that.
All right, thank you, Sarah.
I am definitely a proponent of furthering access for non-motorized vehicles, for pedestrians, for bicyclists, as I think most of us are, but it is a continued plan. And this gives us the opportunity to support the Homer Proposition 1 by voting yes for the HART Fund that allows for the maintenance of these roads and trails that we already have, while maintaining the priority to be a part of these capital projects that wants to further expand our trails. And the reason that I'm a proponent for that is so that we can continue the access in the wintertime by clearing them, by maintaining them, making sure that what we do already have in place is accessible for pedestrians. There's a sidewalk that is being built on Soundview right now that allows for the children walking from school at West Homer Elementary to be able to cut across through town on those trails. And we're seeing that in production right now, and that is something that our city worked hard to be able to make further connection to what we already have set up in town and a safe access for a pedestrian. So I want to move forward with the plan, as Stephen said, that we have with the city and with the parks and trails, and see what other concerns people have for pedestrian access. I know that was something that came up as a testimony of someone at council on Monday night, that their concerns on Ben Walters. So I think the city's done a great job in addressing those concerns that people have, and they are encouraged. If you have a concern about safety, go ahead and bring it forth. That way, council can do something about it.
Great. And here's another question emailed in. What do you say to a 10 to 15-year-old who says there's nothing to do in town? Let's start with you, Sarah.
I was once that 10 to 15-year-old that said there was nothing to do in town. And, you know, there is such an incredible amount of things to do in this town. The thing is that we don't know to take advantage of it. Because we live here, we put our head down, and we forget to look up at the incredible place that we live in and realize that we are in one of the places that is recommended to come before you die because of all of the wonderful things that we have. And so we need to continue to open the eyes of our young people to all of the wonderful activities that we have in this community. And there's many things that you can do that you don't have to have money for. My oldest is 14, and so she very much fits in that category. And her friends hike the trails. They go paddle boarding. You know, they go to enjoy the library. They bicycle. They just enjoy, you know, going fishing, going for walks on the beach, having a bonfire. There's an endless list. And if we continue to introduce those wonderful things to our young people, they won't miss out on anything and leave. They will have a very rewarding life right here in their own small town.
All right, Steve.
Sarah said, like a true Homer mother. I think you nailed it. You know, you led off talking about your daughter and trying out for roles in the Nutcracker. Mm-hmm. I swim at the high school Tuesdays and Thursdays early in the morning. In just a couple more weeks, they'll probably be opening it up again for basketball for the youth. You wouldn't believe how many kids get up out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning and play in these basketball leagues. It's amazing. You know, and so if you're like, just have your head in the pillow, you'd never know that this stuff is going on in Alaska. You know, not only do they have hockey down at the hockey rink, a lot of people play broom ball down there. Look how often the bike path or the walking path down on the spit gets used. I mean, it's really kind of glorious for us now on the fringe of the big season. You know, we finally get the tourist out, so now we can really enjoy Homer all to ourselves. But no, there's tons of wonderful things. I grew up in Central Ohio. There wasn't an opportunity to go kayaking. You know, there wasn't the opportunity to do half the things that the kids have the opportunity to do here. If you've got your head stuck in an iPhone, most of the time, if that's how you're communicating and interacting, then I feel bad for you because Homer probably would seem not very much fun. But no, this is an absolutely wonderful place. I tell you how you know it's good for kids. Homer brings out the kids in all of us. I look at all the people I know here. Every single one of them thinks they're an artist, a writer, a musician, a something. They're poets. And I mean, my goodness, if the adults can feel like that and go and play all and do all these things, I think the youth can do the same.
I was living in Austin, Texas, and everybody was 24. Like even the 50-year-olds were 24. All right, Andy, do you know the question?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
It has nothing to do with between 10 and 15 years old.
Yeah.
Well, let's see here. I'm not 10 or 15 years old anymore, but I did recently with three boys who basically were and are between that age. They seemed pretty active for the most part. It's too bad there's not a city-run paid-for facility for people to go on a winter day.
If you'd like to make a call.
All right, we lost Andy. We'll get him back real soon. So you can't get everything you want as city council member. You have to make priorities. So let's go down the list, starting with Sarah, and just say your top three priorities of what you want to do in your term.
Top three?
Yes.
I have, my number one goal is that I want to continue with a balanced budget. It really bothers me that our borough and state and federal government do not work with a balanced budget. I don't like the idea that we're coming up on what our city manager calls the hole in 2019 when the HART fund is suspended. And I'd really like to work at ways to avoid that. And we're gonna have to come up with some creative solutions because I'm also not a proponent of taxing more people. I think we've been hit on every angle. We still don't know what's coming down the line from the budgetary cuts that have been made at state and borough level. And so more weight is gonna be put on our municipality to pay for services that were otherwise provided. And so I want to make some pruning to our budget that would allow for the other necessary services to flourish, and also look at some creative ideas for revenues that would help us continue to prosper and be able to provide the things that Homer needs.
All right, Steven?
I'm going to, first off, congratulate Sarah on identifying fiscal responsibility as a primary area that we have to have. We all have to do it with our families. We do it in our households. I work for Scott. Well, I actually work for Patrick and Monica now. But anyway, I work at Ulmer's, and they have to balance budgets. That's just a requirement. But if I had to pick the three things that if this was my end of my term, and I'd like to say that I was involved in and I helped with. Number one, the new police station is just a requirement. That's a no-brainer. And I think Sarah would agree with that wholeheartedly. The second thing is you know, we have real blessings here that if we leverage them appropriately, Homer can be just a gem, the gem that we all envision it to be. And we're blessed with a wonderful deep water harbor. And holy cow, that could be leveraged in so many different ways. And I know that the council has, you know, earmarked in the budget the plans for dealing and improving with that, all right? I mean, that's just a requirement. And then lastly, as Sarah said, this is a bucket list place to come for people. It's a beautiful, gorgeous, wonderful area. And we need to leverage the tourism that comes through here for the 3 months that we have it. You know, we're a little bit different than Soldotna and Kenai. They have their three big weeks when the Reds run. and then, you know, and everybody that lives there hates it because it's really god-awful. It's just terrible. And you just have so many people, and people get rude, and they get nasty at Freddy's, and the traffic gets snarled. We have a whole lot more traffic for 3 months. Okay, but if we can leverage that to fund so much of what we do year-round, I can put up with waiting a little bit longer in order to be able to make a left turn. I really believe that. So my three things, again, it's the police station, It's the Deepwater Harbor, and then lastly, leveraging tourism. And we have more and more boats coming all the time. There's going to be just more and more opportunities all the way around for us to use that to our benefit.
Andy, the question is three priorities for your term.
I'm sorry.
What are the three things you want to accomplish as city council member?
Jake, I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of my work day, and I can't keep track of this conversation and what I'm doing. I'd love to have this conversation another time.
All right. Well, thank you for trying, and we'll get back to you when we can.
Thank you very much.
All right. No worries. So it's just the three of us right now. So one more question via email. If you have a question, email info@kbbi.org or call in 235-7721. Where are the candidates' thoughts on allowing scrolling electronic signs on Homer businesses throughout the city limits of Homer, like those LED signs that go left and right and have letters on it?
As long as they fall under the current zoning laws and also the lighting laws. Homer wants those low dim lights, and if they are falling under those requirements, then I'm sure they are welcomed in our city. But I know that many of us are probably familiar with some of those LED lights as we drive to Soldotna, and they about blind you on the road. And so we want to make sure that whatever we have, it falls in with the priorities and values that Homer has set for our small town. Otherwise, you know, have at it. And I'm sure at the city, if Dottie Harness is the assistant to the city manager, she would be one that if you want to implement that, that, you know, start there by asking questions if that's allowed.
Great. See if-
Similarly, and I would talk with Rick Abood at City Hall. I mean, whenever I notice lights that are too bright, is that really code there, Rick? I'll ask him. No. Whose signs are too big? Who followed the rules appropriately? Jesse, this is great. You played Stump the Lump with me. I've never thought about what I'd feel about those signs. Mm-hmm. But as long as it was done within the guidelines and regulations of the city of Homer, I wouldn't have an issue with it. But I don't want them to be a distraction that could cause, you know, God forbid, a terrible accident. And I'll give you an example. Down where my friend Kevin Kyle has his Napa store, there's a crosswalk there. And somebody did a really cool thing and put a mannequin up there. And I think it was something for the love of something, just to slow down. Stop in the name of love. That's what they had assigned.
And with the dog.
Yeah, with the dog. And it was great because, look, not just the people that live here in Homer, but especially the visitors, they forget that there are specific areas where people are meant to cross. They have the right-of-way there, and we need to slow down and acknowledge them. And what if there was a bright flashing light at one of those crosswalks, and it caught your attention, you didn't realize somebody was stepping into it, and God forbid somebody was hit. Now, that would be horrible. So those are all things that were taken into consideration when the laws and rules and regulations were set up. And as long as it follows them, I'm cool.
Fantastic. So working as a city council, it's not a one-person show. Can you give an example of how you worked in a team or cooperated with others in the past, like, 5 years, Stephen?
All my career, I've had to be in a team situation. I don't know if it was because when I came up through management, that became the hot topic, you know, that you were a team leader, okay? But that's what I've always embraced. Yesterday, I'll give you an example. I don't have to go back 5 years. Yesterday, I was having discussions with our technicians at Ulmer's about what they were really required and what we were looking for them to step up and do. And I would point to our new PIC, that's the pharmacist in charge, his name is Roland, great guy. And I'd say, look at how he is doing things that you had not seen the other PIC do in the past. And similarly, we're looking to you to step up and do more. Sarah was at the same meeting two meetings ago for the city council where Archibald, they did the great presentation on the new trails that they're putting in. Mm-hmm. And part of being a team leader is motivating those around you. You lead by example. Certainly give positive reinforcement when things are done. And you also are looking for people to step up and do more than what they're getting paid for, like volunteerism, mm-hmm. which is what they did with that heart fund money and did an amazing thing for Homer. So, Jesse, call my wife right now. She'll tell you that I don't do well making decisions all by myself. I've always had her as my partner in making decisions. And similarly, at Ulmer's, I lead as part of the team, but I'm always asking for input from everyone around before we ever move forward. On to you, Sarah.
Yep.
Some of my first real experience in team was in mission work, where we are in a completely different environment, different conditions, and we're asked to do things that were beyond our comfort zone. And I learned real quick that your strength lies within a team. And yes, there are leaders that will emerge, but it's the team that accomplishes the goal and that does the most work together. And that's what the council is designed to do, is to work together as one unit and come together to best represent the city. And that's what I want to be a part of, is I've previously been a voice for one unit within the city. But as a council member, I'm no longer going to be one unit. I'm going to be the unit of the council that represent everyone in the city. And that's something that is important to me, that I want to be able to do with all of my being, and not just by verbal assent, but to be able to say, you know what, this is something beyond my comfort zone. This is something that I'm unfamiliar with. Help me see this from your side. I learned that a rainbow is not always visible with people standing in one location. If you see a rainbow, you can have someone across the way say, there's no rainbow. And you say, yeah, it is. It's right there. It's magnificent. But that person has to come all the way across to where you're standing to look from the same perspective to see that incredible rainbow. And that's what I want to be able to do, is to walk over where someone is to see from their perspective the thing that they're trying to describe to me. And I think that being on council, I'll be able to exercise that and join in that team for accomplishing the goals for Homer.
Great. We are getting so many email questions. This is great. If you have a question, please email info@kbbi.org. I'm just going to read one right now. A lot of people talk about finding creative solutions to balance the city budget. What are one or two creative solutions that you have in mind? Sarah, let's start with you.
I had a local freshman come to me recently with an idea concerning the large vessel haul out that would be working with the city in creating this, because they see that it's a huge need that we have for a long time. And it is something that I'm excited to see has moved up on the priorities of the capital improvement projects. The city says, yes, we want to do this and we want to make it a priority. They've already gone through phase one and phase two, but now it's a matter of the funding for phase three and four. So without giving away to the idea that this person gave to me, and the reason that I'm not revealing it is because it was their idea. I want to let them run with it and reveal it because it's something that they are working on at the time. I want to honor that. But that it was an incredible idea that marries the people who are working here in this community with the city. And that's how I think government should work, is that the weight shouldn't fall on one set of shoulders, but that we should carry that burden together. And I think that's just an idea of ways that we can get some of these projects that we see a huge need for and get them moving even faster rather than waiting on outside sources.
Great, Steve.
Two items. Number one, because of the opportunity that I had throughout my career to work with insurances and with healthcare, I would certainly think that I could bring a lot of expertise when it comes to the healthcare programs that we provide for our government employees here in town. This is a huge portion of the cost that the city lays out as part of their remuneration. And I think that I could be very, very helpful in finding ways to cut those costs appropriately, not cut the services, but cut the costs, such that it would provide necessary revenue to the city. That's number one. Number two, and I'm going to bring this up, and this is, I just think about this and kick this item around a lot. I can remember since the time I moved here that there was an effort to do the food tax year-round. And the city council, as I remember it, and Sarah, you living here you longer than I have, you might remember it differently, did this kind of unilaterally without the testing the temperature with the will of the people. And the will of the people voted and said, nah, baby, nah, we're not going to do that. They didn't say we need more cowbell that way. Well, I've thought about this really, really hard. And Homer is just not the city of Homer. There's greater Homer, okay? Their greater Homer goes, you know, almost to Anchor Point and goes all the way out as far as you can out East End Road. And greater Homer utilizes the services that the city of Homer provides, okay? They come and use the library here. They use so many other services that are provided because the city is able to create clean water, all the different things that the city provides. As I've lived here, I've talked to individuals that live in greater Homer, not in the city of Homer, but outside, who feel that, yeah, we're kind of taking advantage of this. We're getting benefits that we don't pay for. We get to utilize, you know, these things that your property tax dollars are paying for, Steve, good on you. And they're saying, we don't really want to do that. We'd actually like some way to be equitable and pay back to the community. So I know that this was something that just, when I first moved here, I'd be like, no, no, no. I grew up in greater Cincinnati in Ohio. There's no tax on food anywhere, anyhow. It was just viewed as a sacred cow. Since I've lived here, and it's basically because of discussions with people that lived outside of Homer, but that utilized our services, I would actually want council to reconsider and engage in the community to say, hey, this is one of the areas that we could generate revenue. We're already doing it 3 months out of the year. And this allows for the individuals that are utilizing the services that you're otherwise paying for to at least have some skin in the game. So I love, you know, just, you know, lighting a hand grenade and tossing it into the room. But I think those are kind of things that need to be discussed. We all would love to say, gosh, I'd like everything and I don't want to give anything. Well, that just can't happen, you know? And so I would hope that we're all going to be able to maturely sit down and talk about how we are going to generate those revenues. So that's my thoughts on that.
Great. Let's move on to specific policy and topics. I want to hear what you guys both feel about the police station right now and what your plans are going forward with the revisions that need to take place. Let's start with you, Sarah.
The police station, as it stands, is looking at a $6 million building with on the new unused property that's located behind the post office. And City Council has asked that Stantec do a 10% conceptual design to show us what do we get for $6 million for a police building? Is it going to meet our needs? And I fully support this because, number one, we need to move forward. The police station is in a terrible, terrible condition, and it has been for quite some time. Our police force has been using and working in conditions that most of us would be ashamed to admit to if we knew. And so we need to move forward on this. And I support the $6 million. Why? Because the city of Homer's already voted against a $12 million. So we know they don't want to pay for that. Obviously, they don't want to pay for more than that. So council proposed a 6 and a 9, and the police task force said, okay, this is what we can get. But when we look at how much it's going to cost to maintain that each year, you know, versus the 6 and 9, the 9 puts us way up there again, where it's something that at this point the city can't sustain. And so if I were asked to vote on the police station building today, I would definitely vote for the $6 million. The building that has been proposed is something that would be a new, beautiful structure that would meet the needs and allow for additions in the future. It allows for a walkout basement. It allows for a roofline that they could build on, and so allow for future expansion. And that's something that it can get behind, because we don't know what the future holds, and we don't want to go with the bare minimum. We want to go as much as we can beyond that for a minimum amount of money. So I'm excited to see that the current council is going to have some answers soon, and we'll be able to decide, will this $6 million proposal work?
I'll just go ahead and say, boy, Sarah, that was terrible that you tapped into my head and said my exact answer. I've been lucky enough to be a Homer Elk and interact with Tom Struza. And I had dinner at Tom's house a couple weeks ago with he and his wonderful, beautiful wife. And this was probably the topic of discussion for half the meal. And I don't know that Tom even said it as eloquently as you did, but I think that the current plan for going right behind the post office, the new building, the ability to expand, it makes perfect sense. And I really think that not only do we want council to get behind it and move this along, but Homer needs to too. This is what we truly need.
Great. This is another question that was emailed to us. Email your questions at info@kbbi.org. There may be a struggle between the pressure for Homer to grow in many ways over the next few years, along with a different feeling to preserve Homer as it is. How do you think the city council can influence the above dilemma? Let's start with Stephen.
Yeah, so I ask that question again, please, Jesse.
So there are conflicting views of people that want Homer to grow forward and develop, as well as people who want it to stay how it is. How do you balance both plates, I guess?
Okay, so let's go back again to people being here, okay? Number one, Homer, Alaska, and I don't know, Jesse, you just moved here. The wages here for a lot of individuals compared not just to other parts of Alaska, but the lower 48 are not really that wonderful. The cost of living is way out of sight, okay? So when you choose to live here, you know that you're sacrificing something to do so, okay? You're never gonna have a national baseball team. You know, you're not gonna have big league football. Our college is never going to play the Ohio State University.
It could, come on now.
Sarah, now you're not being a realist anymore. Anyway.
It's my alma mater right here.
and I'm good for, what is your mascot? What is the mascot?
You know, I don't know have one.
We were the Ice Knights in my school, just saying.
go Ice Knights.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you talk about big time growth and development, that means you're going to have a major industry move down here. Mm-hmm. Okay, number one, I don't know that we have the workforce to draw somebody down here. Number two, do they really want to take on the costs of putting something in? Think about just to build a building, how expensive it is, okay? I mean, we're talking about this police station, $6 million. I can tell you in Central Ohio, where I moved from, we could build it probably for $1.5 million. But things are just that much more expensive here. They have to all be hauled up here. It's just incredible. So I think that Homer is going to grow. I think that all the deep water harbor, you know, the boat pullouts, all that kind of stuff, that will grow. Because that's, you can't have that, you know, in the middle of the country, in flyover country. You have to be on the coast, and we have a wonderful harbor to do it. So I guess my comment is, Jesse, just as we've been growing slowly and we're connecting the streets, you know, looking at the drawn-in grids and building as we need to. Going up West Hill Road, they just put in Eric Drive, Eric Lane, whatever. New little street. And there'll be houses that'll be built there, and it'll take some time for that to happen.
With sidewalks and curbs.
And sidewalks and curbs. And I'm sure it has gas and water and sewage and all the good stuff, because that's a requirement. I guess the bottom line, Jesse, is I just don't – I'm not going to recognize that question, because I don't think it's a possibility. I think we're going to grow, but I think we're going to continue to be a 3 months go crazy place, and then we're going to catch our breath and hibernate for a few months and then get ready to go crazy again.
I recognize this is something that is always on the back of the mind of the locals, the people who grew up here, who remember things at a slower pace, simpler times, and we want to blow up the road. That's just the fact. We want to blow up the road where we are our own little island, and so no new people could come in. I'll admit it. We think that. But at the same time, we want Homer to grow and flourish. We want to share the bounty that we have with the world, because when you have something good, your heart just overflows and you want it. You want everyone to know how, this love that you have found. And so we have this anomaly. And something that I think we should do as a town is look at, what do we want the bigger picture of Homer to look like? And at what expense? That's always the question. What are we willing to forfeit? Because we know that change is going to come, but we can help direct and mold the change the way we want it to be. And if we set our values of what we want Homer to look like, then we can make sure that everything, the growth that comes, will fall within that. Here, a number of years ago, Fred Meyer was going to move into town, and I agree with capitalism. I like industry because I like things to be competitive so that we have better products, better services, and better prices. And so I was like, yes, we should have it. But there are requirements that Fred Meyer was supposed to fall under because we didn't want to look like any other city in America. We want Homer to have its unique small town, warm Hamlet by the Sea feel and not look like any other place in California. And so I agree with that. But how do we do that? And I think that is going to come by continued conversation to say, what are our values? Let's keep those in front of us for the bigger picture of what Homer needs to look like and formulate a plan. We need to have a greater city plan so that whoever steps in for council can say, how do I fit into this? How can I help achieve this goal that the citizens of Homer and bigger Homer have said that we want?
Great. This question came in via the email. It's referencing a coffee table back in June. This is a question for Sarah, but Steve, feel free to take it as well. With the ongoing climate of people fleeing war-torn countries and the migration status, how does Homer view itself with including people from out of the country? So that was for you. So how do you feel about this current situation and the possibility of immigration coming from war-torn nations?
You know, I am not against immigration of legal, documented citizens. I think that's something that has been a line that has been blurred in a lot of conversations. And I want to make that clear. I welcome immigrants who come under a lawful process, because all of our families, I take that back, not all of our families. A good portion of families started as immigrants at some point in the States. Now, there were many people who were here first, and I acknowledge that, but a good percentage of the families in the United States today were immigrants once. So I am not against immigration, but I want legal immigration and welcome them, because we are a loving community. Just as I said, we want people to share in what we have and be a blessing to others.
So I think Sarah's done a good job of framing that fact that we have immigration policy in their country. Mm-hmm. And they've blurred a lot, sadly, the lines between individuals that followed the guidelines and came in appropriately and other individuals that did not come in appropriately. But what you're asking about, I think, Jesse, what the question is concerning is refugees from war-torn areas, areas where people are being persecuted, where they have to flee. And I can't help but go back, and I'm kind of upset that Sarah mentioned that she did missionary work before I got to say it, that I did too. But I have to go back to what I saw during my missionary days. And if Homer was able to come together and decide that we could sponsor X number of families or individuals and bring them into our community, we could, we identified what we could support and how we were going to indoctrinate them into our city and bring them in and make them a part of Homer and make them feel loved and wonderful, I think that would be great. I think we need to be open to individuals in those kinds of situations. I can't imagine what those poor individuals are going through. But we can't allow ourselves to become like so many places in the world right now where they've opened it up, didn't think about how much they can take on, and now all of a sudden it's not a good situation. So no, I would certainly hope that in a very loving Homer way that we could say, wow, okay, we know we have this much housing that's available. We can set aside, you know, we'd go through city council, we'd go through the churches and figure out what we could do to make this available, to make it happen.
All right, we have someone on the line. I don't want to hold them so much. So, Grant, you're on Coffee Table. What's up?
Yeah, thank you. You know, considering the rapid deterioration of the Anchorage dock and the lack of funds to make that thing right, I think the highest priority in for Homer would be a really good expansion of the deep water dock. It would enhance revenue. It would keep more people working here, and I think it's something that, worthwhile for the whole state, as well as Homer. And I'd like you guys to consider that, if you would. Thank you.
All right. Do you get the question?
Yeah.
All right. Steve, yeah. Take it first.
You want to take it? I'll take it.
Well, thank you, Grant. We fully agree that is on the capital improvement project priority for the city. I will admit it is a huge undertaking. There are many phases to it, and it's a lofty number. It's a lofty number, but it would come in phases. It's definitely something that the city has made a priority because they see as well the definite need and how it would be such an asset to this entire state and create us as a hub once again. One of the first steps in opening up our harbor is to create this large vessel haul out so that the boats that we have here can be worked on and not have to go somewhere else. That's something that we can start. And then they are working on a plan with Port and Harbor for a deep water dock. You can go to the city website and look at the capital improvement projects and see the plans that they have. And I know that the city manager, Port and Harbor, and council welcomes any creative ideas on how to further this and get the ball rolling on funding.
I agree with Sarah wholeheartedly. I think a lot of times we've got heroes, and I had to mention Rick Abood right away before. I have to mention Brian Hawkins. We are so blessed to have such an incredible harbor master here in our town. I have to question whether, however much we grow, if we're ever going to rival Anchorage. I think Anchorage, if it doesn't have the money, the state will pour it into there as that being the largest population, and therefore they're going to focus on maintaining things there. From where I live, every day, I watch boats come into Ketchikan Bay, pick up a pilot so they can drive them in to Anchorage.
Up to Cook Inlet.
Yeah, right up to Cook Inlet. So, bottom line is, yes, this is a great opportunity for us. Really, really great. And the fact that Anchorage is having their issues, that opens the door for us. But we're still not going to get a pro team. We're not. I'm sorry. You know,
it comes with great patience, I think.
The Denver Broncos are not moving to Homer. So this is still going to be the cosmic Hamlet by the sea.
Cosmic Hamlet. I like that. So there's another question emailed. Thank you so much for emailing. What role should the city council play in fighting the narcotic drug crisis in Homer? Sarah started last time, so Steve, go ahead.
Hi, this is Steve Mueller, your local pharmacist. And I think that city council's biggest thing that they can do is be supportive of our police who are dealing with illegal drug trade and be supportive of them, give them all of the tools that they need, i.e. a really good new police station. We clearly are being hit by this issue just like the rest of the country, but because we're so small, it's much more laser focused. I don't think there's anybody here in this town who hasn't been touched by someone who either through illegal drugs or even the abuse of opiate narcotics hasn't been touched. And it's a tragic thing. It's really, really horrible. And I think that city council not only can be supportive of the police, but also there's the needle exchange program. I think that was a smart move. As the pharmacist at Ulmer's, you know, I'll usually be dispensing syringes and needles along with medications that require them to be administered. Mm-hmm. If you come in looking rather nefarious, you may not get needles from Steve, the pharmacist at Ulmer's. But it's good that we have a needle exchange for those individuals, because we don't want this to be a forgotten part of our society where we're going to say, they got a disease, they died, you know. No, we don't want that to happen. We're supposed to try to prevent those things, try to help these people, truthfully, even when they're not appearing to help themselves. We're called to doing a higher thing. And so I think city council should be behind, you know, that kind of a project. Right now, a lot of the doctors here in our town got involved with a Narcan program, which is basically for individuals that have an overdose that they're going to have the medications that they need to take care of that so that they don't die because of the medications they took. I support that wholeheartedly as well. Once again, these are human beings. These are our neighbors. They're struggling. They have an addiction that, rightly or wrongly, they may not have really been the one that began them down that road. And so we owe it to them to give them every chance to live and every chance to then move away from their addiction and get better. So that's where I think council should be.
All right. Thanks, Sarah.
I am so glad that Stephen was here to answer that question, because I'm just going to admit, I know almost nothing about the opioid epidemic. Yes, am I aware that it is an issue and that it is killing people and people who would not normally have been prone to drug abuse? Yes, absolutely. And it is a concern of mine because it's affecting us as an entire population, as a culture. So it's not something that I want to ignore. But I'm just going to admit, I don't know much about it, but I'm welcome to learn more. I think from a council role perspective is more of an encouragement, as Stephen was saying, is to encourage the social programs, encourage the community that is here, that is trained and in giving support to the people who need it.
Great. I asked this question yesterday with a mixed response, so I feel like I have to ask it today. What's the specific problem or compromise you had to overcome recently, and how do you think you can take compromising and dealing with adversity to a city council environment? So whoever wants to take that one first.
Let me think.
Well, gee, thanks, Stephen.
Yeah, really throw you under the bus right there.
Well, Sarah, you know, let's go ahead and talk about, as Michael Armstrong called it, if there were an elephant in the room, Sarah Vance is the elephant trainer. And I thought that's in the paper this morning. And when you read something like that about yourself, it makes you go, wow, I'm not sure if to take that as a compliment or an insult, but the recall was definitely a big issue. And it was a big problem. There was a lot of controversy, and I will admit that. I tried to be respectful through that process because I was on the forefront of that for what I considered upholding truth and integrity and wanted accountability for our lawmakers, for our government. And what I told a previous interview was that it's unfortunate that it happened to have faces behind it of our community members. And so now I'm left with the residue and the hurt from that issue. And I have a conviction of running for council because I feel the civic duty to be in that place, especially because I so publicly called out these council members on the work that they were doing. If I'm not willing to put myself in that seat, then I feel like I'm a hypocrite. And so I'm willing to do their job. Do I believe it can be done any better? No. I hope to, I've learned a lot from them. I respect and honor the position that they hold. But I'm now having to say, how am I going to resolve this? And what I'm doing is I am extending a hand to all of you who have had hard feelings against me because of the position that I put. And I say, I welcome your questions and your conversation. I do not want to push you away because we are friends. We are neighbors. We belong in this community together. And there is resolve. I have hope in the people of Homer, and that we can be stronger through this, and that it's not doesn't have to continue to be a source of pain.
Great. Steve?
Well, Jesse, I'm glad that we were successful in this intervention during this hour with Sarah. And Sarah, it appears that you've now been healed. I because it's the elephant in the room. I will talk about compromise on this as well. People were really hurt with the presidential election, and they didn't know how to react. And sadly, it resulted in actions that we as a community deemed were inappropriate enough that we ought to raise and have a recall election. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I was kind of surprised that the council now wants to go back to the state and say, tell us what we could really recall about, because I don't think the state wants to do that. I think they always wanted to be the will of the voters, you know. And the voters did speak. They said, listen, yeah, we didn't think this was right, and so we do want a recall election, but by the same token, we want the business of the city to go on. So we're not going to recall them. You know, we'll take care of that during the election. But we as a community have made our statement that, nah, that, you know, it was February. We all get a little crazy. We just went a little too nuts this time. Okay. So you're right, Sarah. I would love to see compromise. I would love to see all those people that I think so highly of, who sit on all the different sides, to come together and say, We're Homers, we're Homers population, we're neighbors, and we love each other.
Good. Great. Enough. There's time for just a quick wrap-up. I'll give you each a minute to just say what you want to say to the community of Homer. Let's start with Sarah.
I just want to say thank you to the community of Homer for being who you are. You know, we've talked about a lot of things, and one of the reasons that I chose to raise my family here is because it is such a rich, incredible community, and it is full of love and opportunity, and that's why I'm here and why I want to be on council, is to continue with that hope and vision that we have for what Homer is. And I encourage everyone to get out and vote. Absentee early voting starts on Monday, so mark your calendars, and then Election Day is October 3rd. Please come out and vote. It's an important one, and if I may wave my little flag, vote Vance.
All right. My concluding marks are this. We are a wonderful community. We need to come together. I'd like to be a part of bringing that together and then moving us forward. And I'm not going to promise anything other than that I've got our priorities in line. I know that we're blessed with abundant fish, so we're going to have commercial fishing, and we're going to have charter boat fishing and personal fishing. I know that we have a wonderful harbor, and we're going to expand and leverage that. And lastly, as you come across Baycrest and you look at that beautiful view, people are going to be drawn here, and tourism is going to be vital. We can tap it, and we can have a wonderful place to live.
Great. I want to thank everyone who stopped by, Sarah Vance, Steve Mueller, Andy Keita. So shame that he couldn't get on the phone, but he's still running. I want to thank Grant for calling in. I want to thank everybody who emailed info@kbbi.org. My name's Jesse Rabinowitz. This is Coffee Table. We're taking a break next week, but I'll be here at 10 a.m. Wednesday in 2 weeks. See you then. Have a good day.